Right now, I want to bring in a guest from the Sharon Audubon, and that is Sunny Kellner, who is the Wildlife Rehab Coordinator. And actually, I have a lot of questions to ask Sunny about things that are going on in Birdland. And let's welcome in Sunny right now. Good morning, Sunny.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Nice to have you here. First topic, I see this all the time on Facebook and also on Instagram and on the web itself, where people post and they have found some sort of wildlife that has been injured, whether it's a bird, whether it's a raccoon, whatever it is, and they're looking for help, and they just don't know what to do. One of the things that you're involved with is basically exactly that. What do you do with injured or orphaned birds, right?
Yes, exactly. There are quite a few wildlife rehabilitators in Connecticut. And wildlife rehabilitators are people who have special permits with the state and sometimes with U.S. Fish and Wildlife to treat and care for injured, orphaned, and distressed wildlife that people might find. So if somebody finds a wild animal in distress, in need, whether it be, you know, an animal that was unfortunately, you know, hit by a car, or a baby bird that has fallen out of a nest, people can contact a rehabilitator for advice and direction on what to do to get the animal help. That may be bringing it to the rehabilitator for treatment, or it may be attempting to reunite, you know, a baby animal with the parents. A lot of times in the summer, in the spring, when it is so busy with baby animals, more situations are actually normal than people realize. So we do a lot of education over the phone. There's actually a state list with Connecticut. You can just Google Connecticut Wildlife Rehabilitators, and a state list through the DEEP will come up and it will list all the rehabilitators in the state that you could contact for whatever type of animal you find, and it's all organized by the type of animal. There's also a great free app called Animal Help Now that you can download on your phone or just go on the website, and that gives you access to rehabilitators who are publicly listed for any state that you're in the country for any type of animal. So that's always a great thing to have on the go. At the Sharon Audubon, we primarily rehabilitate birds. Our specialty is songbirds. But we do help people with other types of animals as well, even if we are just trying to connect them to other rehabilitators who specialize in that type of species that somebody found. So people can always give us a call or send me an email. And the best thing to do is to go on our website, which is sharon.audubon.org. And there is a page up there about what to do if you find a wild animal in need. And it says, you know, if it's an adult or if it's a baby, we give directions on how to temporarily set it up after you contain it until you're able to reach a rehabilitator. And it has a couple really important do's and don'ts on there. So if anyone finds anything, go to the website, and we have quite a bit of information there to get you started.
We're speaking with Sunny Kellner, once again, Wildlife Rehab Coordinator at Sharon Audubon. You know, Audubon, years ago, I'm talking years ago, back in the late 50s, early 60s, my mom and dad added an addition on the house and put four huge picture windows overlooking a beautiful meadow, two of them, and then two other ones overlooking a pond that they had built. And I'm talking big windows. They were at least 5 feet high and at about 8 to 10 feet wide. And what they found out after the construction was done is that birds were flying into them. And the reason I bring this up, and some of them were dying and some of them were just stunned and got up and flew away. But even back then, they contacted Sharon Audubon as a family, and they gave us an idea of what to do. Yes, you want to see the scenes. Yes, you don't want to have a lot of dead birds. So they advised putting up curtains and leaving the curtains closed most of the time, and when people are over and you want to show this. And you know, that little bit of advice back then probably saved the lives of over the course of years, hundreds, if not thousands, of birds. So I think some people seem to forget, and also there's a lot of new people moving into our area that aren't aware of the resources that are available at Sharon Audubon. And one of yours, which I'm so glad you gave the information about the app and what you do and what you focus in on, is so important, because with so many people moving up to the country for the first time and seeing not only birds but bears, I think you provide an important resource to people.
Oh, we absolutely do. And we have people who call us, who just know us from the internet, you know, from, like you said, Facebook and Instagram, who call us from California. We have got, we've gotten emails from New Britain before. I mean, just all sorts of, contacts from all over the world, honestly, for information about what to do if you find something. So people can always call, even if you're not sure if the situation is normal or not. You can always call. And one of the most useful things about the time we live in is the iPhone, because a lot of times, in the past, we would have to talk to people over the phone and try to just, ask certain questions to get descriptions on what was happening and how big is the bird and kind of what color is it and things like that. And now people can just take a quick picture and send it over to us through email or through our Facebook, and it just gives so much information that fielding these phone calls and helping people over the phone is revolutionized. And that's one of the things that it says on our rehabilitation page on the website, that if you're able to take a couple pictures of the situation or the animal that you found and send it to us right off the bat, that will take a lot of the guesswork out, and then we can just immediately get into, addressing the situation and trying to help the people and the animals. So pictures tell a thousand words, really.
Sonny Keller is with us, wildlife rehab coordinator at Sharon Audubon. Now, this story first, I noticed it, and I've been following it about a month ago. Some of the southern states instructing people not to feed birds. There was some sort of virus going around killing birds. Then now I actually saw it about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, some towns in Connecticut are calling for that. Let's talk a little bit about what is the illness. Is it in our area? Is it peaking? Is it hard to tell if it's peaking? And what can people do about it, or what should they do about it? Because we live in an area where people, they'll put up with bears, they'll put up with because they love to feed their birds.
Mm-hmm, yep. So I'm really glad you asked. The scary part is we don't actually know what it is yet. So this is, it's not necessarily a virus. We don't really know. So what this is being referred to as is a mortality rate or a morbidity rate. So there's a die-off of birds along the East Coast and other parts of the country, and it's spreading. And the animals that are being affected seem to be nestling and fledgling and juvenile songbirds of certain species, primarily so far the species that frequent bird feeders. So cardinals and American robins and European starlings, common grackles, birds that are, feed on the ground and come to your bird feeders, right? So the symptoms of this are that the birds are in overall good shape, except for neurological symptoms are happening. So they are becoming unsteady. They're experiencing paralysis in their legs. Sometimes they are showing swelling in the eyes and crustiness in the eyes. And so far, whatever this is has 100% mortality rate. In birds in other states that have been coming into rehabilitation with whatever this illness is have been tried to be treated with several methods, hoping that that different things would work, since they don't know actually what it is, so can't, know exactly how to treat it. But nothing has worked so far. So because this is seen in, so far in birds that are frequenting bird feeders, and we don't know what it is, we don't know how contagious it is between birds, if bird feeders are going to be, a reservoir of this illness that is just going to rapidly spread it through the local populations if one bird comes and has it. We don't know. So the state's recommendation and, recommendation of surrounding states, to Connecticut as well, is to take down bird feeders for now at least, because we love our birds and we want to help them. And, you know, while people want to support them with food, we also want to encourage people to protect them and prevent them, if we can, from all gathering to a central spot where disease contamination would increase significantly. Right now we are all recommending people take down their bird feeders. And of course it is the summertime too, so natural food is much more abundant for them. So even if birds have been coming through feeders for, you know, for 40 years, you know, it's a habit, but and they know that it's there, but, you know, wild birds don't depend on us for supplemental food. You know, they take advantage of it when it's there, but their lives aren't going to depend on whether or not our bird feeders are out, usually. And as far as hummingbird feeders go, at the moment, the focus or the concern isn't as much on hummingbirds. I don't think that they've really been seen with that yet. But the state is recommending to just wash your hummingbird feeder daily and to disinfect it daily just in case, because, again, it is the same concept with a bunch of birds coming to one spot. And so we don't have, at this time, I don't believe there are any confirmed cases of this illness in Connecticut yet, but there are a handful of suspected cases that have come into different rehabilitation centers throughout the state, and those birds have been, they did not make it, and they have been sent for testing. So I don't believe any results have come back yet, but we're all anxiously waiting, and thankfully so far we have not admitted any patients into rehabilitation at the Sharon Audubon Center who have exhibited any signs yet, and we take birds in from all over the state. So far, we haven't seen anything personally, but we are aware of other potential cases that have come up in Connecticut.
I guess what scares me about the story about the die-off of the young birds is when I was a child, a young child, about 10 or 11 years old, my father had the book by Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. Mm. And when I first see this story, and I see this story developing, I think about this woman who wrote this book in the 50s, and I think about what we've done in the environment, and I wonder, is there any connection in the environment to this? Because this whole book was about how we're slowly killing off, we're killing off our environment around us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, being concerned about environmental contaminants was one of the original, you know, that was on the radar for the people who are researching what this illness might be. Again, you know, I don't believe anybody knows for sure yet, but I think they are suspecting that it is, you know, it's a sort of infection or disease. But everything we do, I mean, at the Sharon Audubon Center, the majority probably, you know, nearly 90% of the patients that are admitted because of human impacts. And not all the animals that come in represent, you know, an overall decline in local populations of these animals. But every animal, every bird that comes in, you know, whether it be because, you know, flew into a window or it was hit by a car or a tree was taken down and then the baby's nest was destroyed, all of that stuff, I mean, that's all human impact. So what we do is we try to mitigate that, you know, one bird at a time on the ground level, and we connect people to the animals that they find. And, you know, we foster an interest and a passion for wildlife that sometimes isn't already, you know, isn't there before they find an animal. So it's really wonderful to be able to you know, interact with individuals from across the state and even New York and Massachusetts and, you know, inspire this appreciation and love of birds and conservation in people who wouldn't otherwise necessarily have one. And so we are getting a lot of feedback and a lot of interaction with people in our community about this illness going around with songbirds. And, you know, people are sending us pictures of deceased birds that they find, you know, say, oh, is this it? You know, we can't always tell. But, you know, there are a lot of reasons why young birds won't survive that are not this illness. And, you know, that does happen every year. But everybody that we've talked to has been on high alert, which is wonderful, because that's the only way that people are going to figure out what this is and see how affected we are in Connecticut if people are paying attention. So we're really grateful for how engaged and active our people in our community are trying to protect these birds. So if everyone could just temporarily at least take their feeders down until we can figure out what this is, that's really going to have the best effect on our local populations.
Well, Sunny, thanks for taking a few minutes with us this morning. Once again, sharon.audubon.org. And Sunny, have a great rest of the day today.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's our Sharon Audubon. Once again, sharon.audubon.org.